Let's all take our hymn books, turn to page number 137. Stand as we sing, walk around, fellowship.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, You prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign.
Reminding about singing, you'll appreciate this, but all the pews are empty up front here. Everybody's in the back. Years ago when we were singing with Tim, we went to a church way down Hurricane, way back down in there somewhere, and it was a Baptist church. We walked in and the back pews were full, but the front half was empty, completely empty. And we sang. This guy led the service, kind of just led the service, but we sang. No applause, no amen, no nothing.
Not even a smile.
We went through our whole list twice and still got no response. No response. And that's hard, singing in a church that doesn't give you anything. And but when we got through singing, the guy come up and he says, "I'm just a bubbling over." So I hope you're all bubbling over tonight.
Yeah. Jim, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to give us to come to your house and worship with you, Lord. Lord, this is a wonderful blessing to us. Amen. Lord, we just
it's already been a good place to be, I think. God's been good to us, blessed us with another opportunity to be here. See lots of smiles, and I was talking with Jimmy out there a while ago, come in, and I said, "How you doing, Jimmy?" Jimmy K. Jimmy said, "Well, pretty good." And then he said, "Well, good, but not pretty." And I said, "Well, I didn't want to say nothing, but it's okay." But anyway, I'm glad we can kind of kid from one another every now and then, ain't you? Good place, been a good day. God's been good to us. I just wonder right now if anybody has a testimony before we go any further in the service.
We'll just...
That's right. That's right, Phil. got a lot to be thankful for. A lot of the ones that's had different surgery and things done this week, it seems to be getting along real good. And even one of them was back to Sunday schools this morning that we prayed for this week. And we're glad for Greg that he was able to come back. I don't have a thing in the world, Theodore, to complain about. The Lord's been real good to me. And I'm not going to say a whole lot, but let's kind of get our mind off the election after church and worship the Lord, and the election will take care of itself after a while. But right now, I know I'd like for us to have another prayer, but I like for, if they would, to get another song ready. That's it's just my way of doing things. I always loved it. I grew up in a church when you got a lot of handshaking done. Kay and Charlie and them knows what I'm sharing. Brenda knows what I'm talking about. But anyway, I'll just have to tell this. One man, Fred Baldwin, we was all kind of raised under his wing and taught us a lot down to our Christian life. But somebody be up singing or something and things get real good, and old Fred just jump up and said, "Let's have a good old handshake." And it always turned out to be a good old handshake too. Imp Fisher used to do that, different ones. Al, you was there some too. So let's get a song. If you want to, shake hands with somebody. If you want to hug somebody, do it. Then everybody wants to, we'll gather up front, have a prayer together.
202.
Does anyone have an open request before we go to prayer? If not, anyone that wants to come up front and pray, you come right on up. If you want to pray right where you're at, that's fine too. But, let's just all go to prayer. Anyone got a testimony? Kelsey and Brianna, they'll be singing here in a minute. Just come on up, girls. And while they're coming, I'm going to tell this. It took us a few weeks to do it, but y'all seen pictures of it. Some of you did on the Facebook and things. Corey put it on, but we built a pretty good size deck on the back of his house up there. And Todd, his brother, helped us when he could get off from work. But what I'm saying about that, Corey's dad, Roger, some of you knew him and some didn't. But Roger was a big cut-up and kidder. He loved to pull jokes on you. But in his Christian life, he was strong. I mean, he was strong. You couldn't shake him. Or if you shook him, you couldn't tell it. He was just Roger, and he trusted in the Lord and he served the Lord. But working with Corey, as much as I did, I found out something, Aaron. He's an awful lot like him. He's pretty. He's close to the Lord. And he don't care who knows. It made me real proud of him. I just wanted to say that. Girls, give us the best you got. Bless your heart.
Your love is mine.
while they was singing, I looked back at Mom and Dad back there. What a pleasing, I'll just say it, proud. You was proud of them. And the smile on your face, you could see it and be proud of them. Anybody have a testimony? Brother Aaron, you ready? Turn her over to you. Jimmy, pray. Brother Aaron, you come to that.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we're in this place, Lord. As the song they just sang, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we don't have to be children up here, Father, Lord. You've made everything that we need to have, Father. Lord, we just ask, Lord, just to bless Aaron, Father, as he brings the message. Lord, that you just bless him, Lord. Help us, Lord, to use our ears to hear, Father, Lord, what it is that you would have us to hear, Father, and apply it to our lives. Lord, pray, Lord, that if anybody here tonight needs anything, Lord, that they would seek your face, Father, and go to the altar, Father. We just give you the praise and glory for it all. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. All hearts free. Tony got everyone bubbling over, so I guess I'm here to bust your bubble. You mind the Lord now. Tonight's election night, and I got to thinking about it, and I thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about the organization that we belong to. Anybody know what organization we belong to? The Church of the Living God. So you may say, well, what are you talking about, Aaron? We belong to the Lord, and we should be proud of it. And we should be a light to the world, whether we're in here, whether we're out there on the job or wherever we might be, but we should always be proud of who we are. I told you this before, but I'll share it again. When I was first saved, I was 9 years old, and every service after that, for about 6 months, I stood and testified. And the only thing I said was, I'm glad I'm a Christian. And that's, I didn't know a whole lot, but I'm still glad I'm a Christian tonight. I'm glad for Jesus Christ and what he's done. And I want to give you three words that are used in the Bible to describe the church. And church, the spelling of church doesn't have this first letter in it, but I'm going to give you three B's that describe the church. I'll let you guess first, and then I'll tell you if you're right or wrong. Anybody got one?
Bride.
I got body. One more.
Bold.
That's good. That's not the one I'm looking for. That's good too. But I'm looking for one more, a little bit different. Building. All right. So Tony's got me bubbling over now. He gave me an answer that was I was looking for. So we're going to look at the bride. We're going to look at the building. And then we're going to look at the body. And Lord willing, I haven't got more than an hour for each of them. So we'll... I'll try to keep it short. But I'm glad for God's presence here. But I thought about the bride, and I was involved in a wedding yesterday. And great couple, great family, and it was just a privilege to be a part of it. But something that really touched me, and a lot of times when our weddings, we kind of have them turned around, and we have the focus on the bride, which that's fine. And I thought about this. The groom does have his eye focused on the bride.
as far as the church goes. And I thought as the night before when we were practicing and we were talking and the brothers were kind of, wondering where Mom would break down at. They were kind of saying, well, Mom's going to break down about halfway coming down. And but anyway, Mom held it together. Mom surprised them. But what was so neat was when the bride came through the door, the groom broke down. And I thought that was pretty neat. But I thought, the anticipation of the groom and the bride, and we often, like I said, we focus on the bride, but we are the bride. We're the bride of Christ, and we're looking for the groom to come. Usually in our services, the groom, best man, come in first, and then the bride comes in when everybody stands and, looks, and that's great, but it's going to be the opposite at the end of time. When the groom comes back, everybody's going to stand and recognize who he is. And I thought it's so great to be a part of the church, which is his bride. You remember the 10 virgins, how when they were watching for the groom to come, 5 of them had a problem. And I don't know whether God was trying to tell us half of the world's going to have a problem when he comes back, but it may be more than that. I don't know. But he said he would come for, or he would take anyone, whosoever will, would come unto him. He would in no wise cast them out. So the main thing is they need to find Christ. We can try to teach people our theories on the Bible and all that, but the greatest theory there is that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jimmy talked about it this morning, and what did Christ say he was? He said, I am the door. And he is the only way to get to heaven. So I thought, there's a longing for that day. There's an anticipation for that day. And he's going to be coming. The first time he came riding into Jerusalem, how did he show up? Riding a donkey, okay? A symbol of humility, a symbol of, that he was coming to seek and to save those who were lost, to give his life, that the bride could have life. I want to read just a few verses from the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. And he's talking here about the wives and the husbands. And, I thought, when there is a wedding, then they have the reception following, there's a great celebration. Now, when this wedding day comes for us, there's going to be a great celebration. There's going to be a wedding feast. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it could last throughout eternity as far as that goes, but there's going to be so much excitement that day. But it's only going to be for those who've accepted Christ as their Savior. Now, it's going to be so much excitement and so much disappointment in the same day, simply because those that rejected Christ, and they'll be turned away. But in the 22nd verse, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, Present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives and their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ, as the Lord, the church. For ye are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. And I thought of that, and, you know, in a marriage, when they come together, they become one. Everything should be centered around each other. And they, but I thought of this, and he's talking about the church, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that should be hope, that it should be holy and without blemish. I thought a lot of times, you know, a lot of people who plan on getting married change their mind. Did y'all know that? I encourage those that I talk to before they're getting married. I tell them, I said, now it's not too late to change your mind. But you can tell if they really want to get married, that they've made up their mind. And then when they want to include, especially when they want to include Christ in their ceremony to glorify him, how much greater that makes the whole celebration of the wedding. But here we have, he's comparing husbands as Christ and the wives as the bride, or as that one. And it says, you know, that we should submit ourselves to the Lord. Anybody know what submit means? What do you think submit means? Give yourself unto the Lord. Why would we want to do that?
So he can use you.
What else?
Gratitude.
Huh? Out of gratitude of what he's actually done for us. And out of anticipation. We don't want to miss that wedding day. We want to be a part of that bride when he comes. And I thought, again, back to those 10 virgins. You know, 5 were ready and 5 were not. And when it came time for the bride, what did those 5 say to the others? Give us some of your oil. And they said, well, we've only got enough for ourselves. But that's the same thing as Jimmy mentioned this morning. You're not going to go into heaven on somebody's coattail. You're not going to go because your mom or dad was a Christian. You're not going to go because you came to church every Sunday. And you say, well, Aaron, if I come to church, that makes me a Christian. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. If you come to church every time, you give in the offering, and you even sing in the choir, that doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is when you accept Christ for who he is. For as he, as the Son of God, and his sacrifice that he gave for us, we need to realize that each and every day. So we should be looking forward to that wedding day. And you say, when's it going to be? They keep saying it's going to be just any time. Who in here can tell me when it's going to be? No man, not even the angels, know the day nor the hour when he's going to come. So what does that tell us we need to do? Be ready. We need to be ready. And I thought too, in the wedding ceremonies, you know, there's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of getting ready, and everybody's checking to be sure they have everything. But, you know, in this situation, there's only one thing you need. Anybody know what that is? It's Jesus Christ. Just Jesus Christ. That's all you need. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. What does the scripture say? When you get there, you'll receive a what? You'll see a robe of righteousness. It's white. What does the white represent in a marriage, for the bride? purity, purity. So he tells us, and he tells us all the time, keep our lamps trimmed, be pure, and be ready to go when he comes. So the first description of a church is the bride. How many brides do we have in here today? Just me and Kip. No, we're all a bride. We're all a bride of Christ. All right, next one I want to go to is building. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got a few verses here I want to read, but when we're thinking that the church is a building, what is a building? Is it this, what we're calling a building? Who used to dwell in the temple? Who used to dwell in the tabernacle? The Holy Spirit and God did. I mean, they really felt that was his dwelling place. So if the church is a building, who should be dwelling there? God should. God should be there at all times. Will God be here all the time? If we'll let him in, you mean we can keep him out, Brian? Unfortunately, we can't we? And throughout our country today, there are a lot of churches I don't think let him in. They go through a form and a fashion, and their building is just a building. But again, the building itself is the church, not the church building. Now that's kind of turn it around in it. The building is not the church building. The building is who? The people who are here to worship God. And what is the most important thing about a building project? What? I heard two couple answers. Okay. Now, I mean, starting out, before we even build. The foundation. The foundation is the most important. Anybody know why? Okay. The weight is upon it. If your foundation's not level, what will you end up with? A building that's not level. You really, it's hard to get it back into level by laying block or whatever. So if you start with a good, strong, level foundation. Now, as a Christian, who is our foundation? Christ is. You think he's pretty level? Think he's pretty strong? He's going to take care of us, isn't he? We can build on him and not have any concerns. We can build on his word. We can build on his foundation. And let me read beginning in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth on it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth up thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work out of what sort it is." I began to think about who was it, the three pigs, wasn't it? One built his house, straw. Ron, you got it? You're not up to that. What are the three houses? Straw, wood, and brick. Okay, and as we know how the story went, who came along to blow down the house? Okay. In our illustration, who would be the big bad wolf? Satan would, wouldn't he? He'd be doing his best to blow it down. No, that's just Mike. Oh, okay. So there, it's talking about hay, it's talking about stubble, it's talking about gold and silver, and these different elements. But it also says they'll be tried by fire. What happens to the house built out of hay? It's going to burn to the ground. What happens to the one built out of wood? It's going to burn down. What happens to the one that's built out of gold? What happens to that house? If your works are gold, what happens to them when they get burned? They become purified, don't they? What is different? You know, we often hear about heaven. We often hear about the street of gold. What is different about that gold than what we see here on this earth? Gold, as it purifies, it becomes clear. And so I thought, you know, our works here and the buildings that we're building here, what happens to the houses that we build here? What are some of the things that happen to them? They burn. Fire, wind can blow them down. And in 2016, you know, in the community, we lost, I don't know, anybody know the number of houses were lost in that flood? But it became known as a 1,000-year flood. And so what can we count on our foundation here in this life, or the house that we have? We might put in as much concrete as we can think of, rebar. What else do we need in there? Usually that's your source, your concrete and rebar, to give it strength. It doesn't matter how much we do to make that house as strong as it is. There's coming a time when it'll be destroyed. If a fire or flood doesn't destroy your house, what else will destroy it? Time will. Termites. Yeah, they'll eat away at it. But I mentioned to Susie the other day, we were driving up the road, and there's two real nice homes that haven't been lived in for several years. And when you have a building that you're never in there stirring the air, or, you know, nobody's ever living there, that house will begin to decay. Even though it might be a newer house, it will begin to decay. So where should we build our house at here? I'm talking about our spiritual house. He said we're a building. Build it upon the Lord. What kind of mortar should we use? I can't think of anything else that'll hold something together better than God's Word. I can't think of a thing. I had something go wrong the other day, and I was looking for something to temporarily fix it, and I ended up with Gorilla Tape and some kind of another specialty stuff that you had, but I thought there's nothing in this world that'll hold you together any better than God's Word. So in order for it to hold you together, it's just like a tube of glue. What do you have to do? How do you get that glue to work? You got to open it up, and then you apply it. When you squeeze it out, same thing with God's Word. What do we have to do? Open it up and apply it. Read it. Study it. And then it'll help your house, your spiritual house, it'll help hold it together better than anything else. That what sometimes tears us down as Christians? Other people. What does the scripture say we're supposed to do as a Christian? Love them. What's that word called when you pick somebody up? Courage, edify, you lift them up. Let's go on here. It says, for any other foundation, in verse 11, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, it so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Remember when we started, what did we say was in the tabernacle, was in the temple? Spirit of God. Now, where does the Spirit dwell today? In our building. Not this building. I mean, he's here, but I'm talking about our earthly tabernacle. What's it say? If our earthly tabernacle be destroyed, we have a builder whose builder and maker will be God. We'll have a new temple one of these days. But for right now, he lives right in here. How does that make you feel? If you got the Spirit living in your life, how does that make you feel?
Happy,
confident, at peace. Why are there times when we don't feel at peace? If we're a part of God's church and we're his building, should there ever be a time when we're not at peace? Doesn't matter what storm you're going through. What's happening in your life? You can still have peace. Now, how does your family have peace if you have peace? It's not a trick question. You're an example. If you lose a member of your family, can you have peace when that person leaves? What gives you that peace? Knowing where they're going. Knowing that they're a part of God's building. They've had God's Holy Spirit live in their lives. And it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. What do you think God wants us to do with our temple? Now, Jordan.
Keep it clean.
He wants us to keep our temple clean at all times. And we need to watch what we say. We need to watch where we go. We need to just take care of God's temple. Okay, what is it? I'm going to go back here just a minute. What is it if in a marriage things don't work out? What takes place oftentimes? Divorce. What is the last person that you would ever want to be divorced from? I'm not talking about your wife or your husband. God. You don't want to be separated from God. You remember when the rich man died and he lifted his eyes up and he was in hell? What does the scripture say was between him and God? A great gulf. There was a great gulf. So I think, you know, there's going to be torment in hell. But the greatest torment is going to be knowing that you're separated from your loved ones, separated from God, and there's going to be a time. So we never want to, you know, go through a divorce with Christ. We never want to leave him out of our life. We never. And these things that we're talking about, when we're talking about Christianity again, what's the difference in Christianity and any other religion? Christianity is what? It's a relationship. When we talk about the marriage, that's a relationship. We talk about the Holy Spirit living in our temple, that's a relationship, isn't it? He's right there all the time. He's right there for us. So what would be the destruction of the building? Or what would be something in a building situation? They're doing a lot of it in Charleston and Huntington right now. They're just tearing them down. Don't ever live your life so that, you know, when it comes to the end of time, as I say, you know, let's tear him down. There's nothing good for him anymore. So we need to realize that these are personal relationships. We need to realize that there's a marriage relationship. We don't want to be separated. We realize that there's a building, and we want that building to stand firm. When it talked in the scripture about the two men that built their house, it talked about a wise man and a foolish man. Okay, who is the foolish man? Build his house upon the sand. Okay, and when the rains come, what does rain do to sand? It just kind of disintegrates it, doesn't it? So his house fell down. What did the wise man build? Where did he build? Upon the rock. Upon the rock. Now Christ was talking to Peter, and he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, we often look at it as Peter was the rock, but Peter wasn't the rock. If you look at Peter's life, what did he do when Christ was taken captive? He did exactly what Christ said he would do. He would deny him three times. But he was talking about what Peter had just stated when Christ asked him who he was. And who did he say he was? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what the church is built upon. And that's the key there. So he knew that, and he had been with Christ, even though he failed, and even though we'll fail in our lifetime from time to time. If we know the rock, and we depend on the rock, we'll stay there close. Okay, I've got one more, and it'll just be a few minutes, and we'll try to finish it. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we've got a bride, we've got a building that the Holy Spirit can live in. The bride is anticipating his returning. Now, what's the other B that we mentioned? Body. Body. What's so unique about our body? I'm talking about our physical body.
We're made in the image of God.
Okay, we're made in the image of God. Okay, no member is the same. Has many parts. How many parts are important in the body? All of them are. There's some that they'll remove and you can still function, but overall they're all important. If somebody steps on your little toe, what part of your body hurts? And your little toe is one of the smallest parts of your body that sticks out. Why does your whole body hurt when somebody steps on your toe? It's one of your members. It's one that, you know, everybody else in there absorbs. So in our spiritual body, we're a body. We have what? a lot of members. Who are the members of the body of Christ? Christians are. Those that have accepted Christ. All right, so we have many members. What if I would go back there and step on Jenny? I probably, that's a bad choice for me to make, but what should the rest of the members do if I would harm Jenny? They should suffer, but what else should they do? Stomp on me. Yeah. Stop me. Right. They should stop me. So it's important for us as the body of Christ. There are many members, but all are important. And if one of our members is hurting, who should be hurting? We all should. We all should feel that same hurt. It says to, another thing is, it says to rejoice with who? Those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. So we should be in a body so tightly knitted together that when one of us are hurt, the whole church should be hurt. When one of us is rejoicing, we all should rejoice. And that's the thing about the body. What happens to the body a lot of times? The physical body. As you get older, what happens to the body? It begins to break down. And you know, what do you do with the body? Do you throw it away when it gets old? Trade it in for a new one? Start replacing parts. Don't laugh, because I had an MRI Friday, and I've got a part that's about as in bad a shape as I ever...